The scripture this morning is from 1 Corinthians. So I'll read this. 1 Corinthians 1, 10 to 18. Now I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you be in agreement and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same purpose. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there are quarrels among you, my brothers and sisters. What I mean is that each of you says, I belong to Paul, or I belong to Apollos, or I belong to Cephas, or I belong to Christ. Has Christ been divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one can say that you were baptized in my name. I did baptize also the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to proclaim the gospel, and not with eloquent wisdom, so that the cross of Christ might not be emptied of its power. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. The word of the Lord.
Thank you, Claire, for opening us in worship, and Steve for leading us in singing. And I want to thank all those who helped with our visual. Thank you, Lois, for the beautiful visual, and those that helped with communion as well to set up. As Claire shared, this is Anabaptist World Fellowship Sunday. It was last week, but they really wanted any week that works. Mennonite World Conference has said, just try to take one Sunday a year, one Sunday in 52 weeks, to remember that you are a part of the global church, and to celebrate that. So it's pretty cool that to think about Anabaptist Christians all around the world who are worshiping Jesus. And we're a part of that. And each year, Mennonite World Conference has a different theme, and this year the theme is Jesus Christ, our hope. And what a fitting theme that is to be chosen this year. In the midst of so much going on around the world that is so easily just so overwhelming, to come back and to remember in the midst of everything going on, Jesus Christ remains our hope this morning. We need to be reminded of that. I need to be reminded of that. There is hope in Jesus, and it brings us together in the global fellowship of Christians around the world. As I was reading through this text this week and thinking about Paul writing to the church in Corinth, and of course there's the early church, and can just imagine all the different conflicts or questions that were being asked. They were truly figuring out together what it means to be Jesus' Lord. In every sense of that phrase, as our mission says, figuring out together. And in this text here, Paul is appealing to the church to be unified. In the midst of their differences and quarrels, to remember to come together in Christ, and specifically to be unified in the cross of Christ. We'll talk about that a little bit more. But as I was reading through this, I kept thinking about how this could be worded in today's terms here at Whitmer Heights. So I'm going to read a section of the Corinthian text, and then I'm going to make a few comments about each section, and then I'm going to read it in what it might sound like to us today here at Whitmer Heights. But Paul, as I shared, is seeking to mend the splits in the community by encouraging the Corinthian church to be united in the same mindset and the same intention. What were some of these divisions? Well, apparently there was conflict around who baptized who. Who belonged to who? We know that some of the conflicts were around how wealth was distributed. And even who was able to come to the communion table was often dictated by socioeconomic status. How did the church follow the Jewish Old Testament law in light of Jesus Christ and the new covenant? That was a huge question to wrestle with for the early church. And so we know that there was divisions. And so just as Paul said, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Today we could say it this way. I appeal to you, Whitmer Heights Mennonite Church. Be united in the same mind and the same purpose, figuring out together how to follow Jesus and make our community and world a better place. Be united in your covenant commitments that you made to one another. Be united in the same mind and the same purpose, Jesus Christ, our hope. But it has been reported to me that I heard from my good friend whose mother-in-law said that they heard from their neighbor whose boss at work said they heard from their grandpa that there is some conflict down at that Mennonite church. So brothers and sisters, be united in Christ. That maybe is how it's happened more often in our Mennonite church, how we hear of things going on. Paul heard it from Chloe. But we hear about conflict often through the grapevine. And so my first thought that came to me here is, how do we hear about conflict often? And I'm not going to spend a lot of time in this, but my simple encouragement here is, when in conflict, talk directly as much as possible to the person you're in conflict with. Because unfortunately, in some of our Mennonite DNA, the way we hear about conflict is through our boss's neighbors, sister-in-law's mother, grandpa, neighbors, friend who goes to that church. And that's not a fun way to hear that you're in conflict often. So directly talking is one thing that we can maybe take out of some of these words here. But anyways, there's conflict and there is an appeal to be united in Christ. Paul continues in verse 12. What I mean is that each of you says, I belong to Paul, or I belong to Apollos, or I belong to Cephas, or I belong to Christ. New Testament professor Jane Lancaster Patterson suggests the reason this was so significant in this time for Paul is because, and for the early church, is because the needs in the community were so great. The social needs were so great. The incredible injustice, the incredible greed, the status seeking, the violence, the oppression under the Roman government was so great that the need for unity in the church was that much greater. Paul is saying you have to be united in your community in order to address the needs around you. His simple message was, it's not a time to be divided, because the world around us needs a unified church that can work together to address the pressing issues. As I shared, increasing disparity between the rich and the poor. And as I think about this, what it might mean for us today, it's like, wow, 2,000 years later, it's the same thing. One of the biggest, greatest needs for our unity and our appreciation for the being a part of the global church is that when we are united, when we are in fellowship, we can that much greater address the needs around us. And a very simple example would just be the local ministerium here. And I've shared this before, I'll just share it again really briefly. I mean, the local ministerium is churches from the Conestoga Valley, and it's all of your mainline denominations, it's worship center, it's your evangelical free churches, it's everything. Every leader is invited to the ministerium. And it is so diverse. And we don't focus on our theological differences. It wouldn't be helpful and it wouldn't get us very far, except for saying we're united in Christ. That's pretty much something that we can all agree on in the ministerium. But we try not to go a whole lot farther than that and to say, let's focus on our unity and addressing the needs in the community. So working with the school social workers, working with CVCCS, working with housing insecurity. And it's really the same thing going on here, saying if we can be united as a ministerium, we're going to be able to work a lot better to meet the physical, emotional, spiritual needs of our community in Conestoga Valley. It's really the same thing going on here that Paul is telling to the church. Be united, because in your united fellowship, you're going to be able to meet the needs in the community that are so pressing. And so as I was thinking about what this might mean for us today, I thought of this as maybe one example. What I mean to say is this. I belong to Lancaster Mennonite Conference, or I belong to the Conservative Mennonite Conference, or I belong to Mennonite Church USA, or I belong to the Beachy Amish, or I belong to the Old Order Amish, or I belong to the Eastern District. Paul might respond to us and say, has Christ been divided? Such an encouraging word that in our own conferences and particular spiritual homes that we find ourselves in, to continue to be reminded to be united in the body of Christ. For Christ, verse 17, did not send me to baptize, but to proclaim the gospel, so that the cross of Christ might not be emptied of its power. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For Paul, in the midst of divisions, the cross holds a particular theological importance. And why is that? I'm not going to spend too much time talking about that because we simply don't have the time, but it's fascinating how the cross is a central point for Paul to bring the church together. Many scholars actually think this is the thesis statement of all of 1 Corinthians. Paul is exposing the unearthly power and wisdom revealed in the cross as a basis for the calling for the church to a cruciform ethic. A cruciform ethic, the self-giving up love, the vulnerable love of the cross, breaks down the barriers of difference and brings people together into a life given over to the well-being of the neighbor and to our brother and sister who's maybe in a different community. It calls us to unity, the cross. God's self-giving power through the cross for newness of life is being encouraged to be known in Corinth. As Gentiles are offered a path from death to life, from brokenness to wholeness, from division to relationship, they are, in effect, through the cross of Christ, being born into something new together. Today, we might say it this way. Has the church been divided? Has Christ been divided? No, the cross has brought us together. We are the body of Christ. Do not think that Christ is divided. You are all the church, a living testimony to Jesus Christ. So whether you are in Lancaster Conference or the Conservative Mennonite Conference or Beachy or Mennonite Church USA, remember that the cross of Christ is bringing us together. In your unity, go and proclaim a desire to work together, to worship together, to be bridge builders, and to not be led by a spirit of fear in your differences, but a spirit of unification in the body of Christ. And that's what we are celebrating this morning. That God's self-giving up in the cross for the salvation of the world can be experienced even in our differences. I'd like to share a short video. Todd, if you could pull that up. And a Mennonite World Conference has a 4-minute video, and it's basically highlights from the past 2019 of the church at work around the world. So I thought it'd be great to get a glimpse of what's going on in Mennonite World Conference.
Justice across barriers in the Mennonite World Conference family. Together as a global faith community in the Anabaptist tradition, we pursued justice across barriers in 2019. Every year, Mennonite World Conference calls our members to worship together on World Fellowship Sunday. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, we work for justice across barriers in the name of Christ. This year, We changed the event name to Anabaptist World Fellowship Sunday to remember our shared identity in Christ within the Anabaptist Mennonite family. We thank each person who shares the cost of one lunch. This supports our global church family. Jesus Christ, our hope, is the theme that animates Anabaptist World Fellowship Sunday in 2020. The work of the four Mennonite World Conference commissions crosses barriers. In 2019, the Faith and Life Commission reviewed the report on baptism arising from the multi-year trilateral dialogue with the Catholic and Lutheran churches. The commission is developing a study guide for MWC churches.
This Faith and Life Commission is helping the Mennonite World Conference as a brain to maintain our identity, also to practice what we believe as Anabaptist Mennonite believers.
The Mission Commission continued to explore better ways for Anabaptist agencies to work together to cross barriers with the gospel of Christ.
We participate in bridging justice barriers around the world.
Visits from the Deacons Commission encouraged the members of our family in despair and joy. In August, a Deacons delegation celebrated with Uganda Mennonite Church as they appointed their first bishop. Together, a Deacons and Peace Commission delegation made a solidarity visit in December to the Hong Kong Mennonite Church living in political unrest.
Our challenge is this: how to be peacemakers when others choose to be violent? We are thankful for the Gobo family who walks with us and prays with us.
The Peace Commission developed resources to help our churches seek justice in Jesus' name. They also supported the launch of the Global Anabaptist Peace Network in June at the second Global Anabaptist Peace Building Conference.
How do you think you could respond and support some of our church members and church communities who are calling out, telling us about difficult situations in which they find themselves?
In San Heredia, Costa Rica, we had the third annual Renewal 2027 gathering. This 10-year series of events commemorates the 500th anniversary of the beginnings of the Anabaptist movement. In Costa Rica, plenary speakers testified about justice on the journey, migration, and the Anabaptist story. Local and international participants worshipped God and prayed together as they shared stories of migration challenges.
Para nosotros como Iglesia Cristiana Menonita es un llamado. Es una motivación el podernos abocar a los hermanos que están viniendo a nuestras congregaciones.
In Canada in 2020, MWC celebrates Jesus Christ, Our Hope for Renewal 2027. This year, local staff were planning how we will follow Jesus together across barriers at the 17th MWC Assembly, Indonesia 2021. We revealed the theme for the Global Youth Summit, Life in the Spirit. Learn, serve, worship. The diverse leaders appointed to the program committee will plan the events and activities during assembly, plenary speakers, music, workshops, children's and youth activities, and the global church village. They developed themes for an inspiring 5 days at assembly in Semarang in July 2021. This year, we supported each other through testimonies and prayers about the ways God inspires our congregations around the world to pursue justice across barriers. We learned about each other through stories of justice in MWC Info, the monthly email newsletter, Courier Magazine, and on Facebook and Instagram. Together, we prayed for justice, from violence and political unrest in many Latin American countries to challenges of securing worship spaces in Africa. All in the bi-monthly prayer network email. We need each other on this journey. Join us as we follow Jesus to cross barriers together.
Awesome. I think it's a great video to show us what's going on around the world. When I think about Mennonite World Conference, I think it's truly a picture and vision of God's dream. Not perfect and certainly broken and in need of God's grace, but working towards God's dream of unity in the midst of diversity. How does Mennonite World Conference, in the incredible amount of diversity, hold it together? I'm fascinated by this question. How do all of these different groups agree on, this is our core convictions? And if you're interested in that, they were able to narrow it down to 7 core convictions that bind the church together. I encourage you to check them out sometime. But they're really, at the end of the day, they're rooted in Jesus and who Jesus calls us to be as followers of Christ. As I shared, the theme for this Sunday is Jesus Christ, our hope. This is a Sunday where we can be encouraged to pray for the church around the world. And one example right now that I think touches our congregation in a very immediate way, well, 2 things. We have the Stoltzfus family, which just got back from Honduras. So we look forward to hearing stories from you. We got to hear some during Sunday school, which was awesome. The other thing I would say is Claire, Rance, and Merle are going to Puerto Rico to help with the Mennonite Disaster Service. And I actually was able to be in Puerto Rico five or six years ago. One of my friends, his parents live in Puerto Rico in I think it's Albanito Mennonite community. It's a pretty significant Mennonite community there. But we can be praying for them right now, where Hurricane Maria and the recent earthquake devastation has left many in need. And not just holding them in prayers, but then, you know, thinking about those from our congregation that are going. And I was thinking too, I mean, there are financial costs. If you feel like you just want to support the 3 going to help with the plane tickets or whatever, let's encourage and support them in that and help them as they go and serve with Mennonite Disaster Service.